Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house on this New Year's Day. It certainly is a joy to see every one of you as we gather in the Lord's house on this very first morning of a new year, this new year of 2023. And Carrie and I are delighted to be with you as we made the transition on Friday of about 25 degrees in temperature and went from everything being all white to being all brown, making that run back down from Minnesota. But good to see all of you in the Lord's house. We want to lift up just a few announcements. Your 23 giving envelopes are there on the table if you've not picked them up yet, and would encourage you to please do so if you will. That helps us to save the postage costs of getting them mailed to you. And of course, you may already be aware that postage is going up here at the beginning of this new year. The warm tree has now been set up in the second foyer adjacent to the elevator. It is an opportunity for us to collect warm clothing items that would be distributed to people throughout the Northland through the Clay County Clothes Closet. After the service today, we are going to be taking down the decorations of the Advent season. And so as many of you who could please stay, your assistance would be genuinely appreciated because again, many hands make lighter work, and that will help us to speed that process along rather quickly. But again, we hope all of you had a most blessed Christmas season as we usher in this new year of 2023. Ryan has our call to worship. Ryan, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. With our own eyes, we have seen God's salvation.
Which God prepared in the presence of all peoples.
A light to reveal God's will to the Gentiles and bring glory to God's people. We'll sing hymn number 175, all four stanzas of Lovely Star in the Sky.
Star in the sky, banishing the night, shine down and hallow us, light up our path. Star shining in the east, be our true guide, lead us to Bethlehem.
May we pray. Holy God, we are privileged to assemble in your house of worship on this first morning of the new year of 2023. We offer our thanks for your abiding presence, expressed most remarkably through the presence of the Christ child. As this new year unfolds, we pray that the meditations of our hearts may be centered on your Holy Spirit's guidance, so that our words and deeds may honor your kingdom's work in this new year. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
We take a moment to greet our neighbors, please. If we could be seated, we'll proceed with the service this morning. We won't be having our children's message this morning. As we predicted, we don't have very many of our children here. There we go. We won't have a children's message this morning as we predicted that a number of our children would probably still be asleep about this time of day on New Year's Day. So that has certainly been the case we see. But as we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember this new week, please keep Art and Janet Kinder in your prayers. Art took a fall on Christmas Eve and went to the hospital on Christmas morning, and understands that he has a fractured rib, so still contending with that, but at home. So please keep him in prayer. We also want to lift up George Watkins. He had a fall this past week, is at North Kansas City Hospital, and we hope he continues to make a good, steady recovery. So Joan, thank you for sharing that word with us this morning. We also lift up Kelly and Tim Jackson. I understood as I was in Minnesota that Kelly had come down with the COVID virus. Tim was feeling sick, but had not yet confirmed whether he had the virus or not. So again, he'd been away from the church building this past week. Let's keep them in our prayers. Also, we keep in prayer Lois Strzok at Addington Place, and certainly Jerry and Betty Donahue each week. We also remember Ed and Shirley Keel's son, David, in the midst of his continuing recovery. We also keep in prayer among family and friends, Linda Stevens' sister, Donna. We keep in mind Perla Mora's sister, Naomi, who's dealing with dementia. Her daughter, Anna Marie, as well as Anna Marie's friend, Patty Nelson, and Perla's niece, Michelle Vales. And in the Hagens family, their cousin, David Brownfield, continues to be in our prayers, as well as also Rihanna Ralston, Debbie Buzinski, and others in our midst. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful God, in humility and yet also with eager anticipation, we come before your presence as the new year of 23 begins this morning. Just as one begins a new semester or wakes up with the dawn of a new day, or as one excitedly welcomes a newborn child, newness offers us hopefulness as the old is gone and the new has come. And as this new year of 23 begins, may we also be reminded that the most significant renewal comes from our relationship with you through your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For as the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when one is in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old things have passed away, the new has come. And as Colossians 3 verse 10 tells us, we are putting on the new self that you are constantly renewing in your own image in order to bring us to the full knowledge of yourself. So as we may contemplate the aspects of our lives that need revision or renewal this new year, may each of us also strive most of all to be renewed in mind, heart, and spirit through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We also ask your blessing and comfort for the many throughout the world who continue to suffer at the hand of injustice, violence, war, and famine, especially as we remember that for the people of Ukraine and in other parts of the world in which war and violence prevail, the changing date on the calendar means little when many are enduring so much suffering and uncertainty. Through your Spirit's guidance, we pray, O God, that this new year may be one of greater peace, stability, and compassion, for we are indeed all your children whom you love. This we pray as we recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
When blossoms start, we must go. Oh, the wind and I.
On the morning after this last winter event before Christmas, I was convinced that the driver's side door of my pickup would surely be stuck. So after brushing off the snow, I then poured a jug of cold tap water along the door seal to break away anything frozen along that seal. And then I lifted up the handle. Alas, it still didn't open. As I paused there staring at the door, I thought, surely it got unstuck. It's a tried and true method that certainly worked well when we lived up in Nebraska. So I poured more water on, and then I lifted up the handle once again. Still, it didn't budge. Staring longer at the door with my empty pitcher at my side, I just thought some more. Oh, silly me, I said to myself, it really would help if you would first unlock the door. A click of the fob and subsequent beep, and sure enough, the door opened just fine. So focused was I on the potential frozen conditions that I failed to remember the most apparent and normal way of opening up a car door. The same is often true in our relationship with God. We get so fixated on our sins and troubles and working out our own methods of getting right with God that we fail to appreciate that Christ has already provided the means of opening the door of a sanctified relationship with our Creator. As we share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, we remember that Jesus said of himself in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. Our communion hymn this morning is number 173. We sing all stanzas of As With Gladness.
As with gladness ages go,
gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross that we may have hope. As we gather around this communion table, we ask for your blessing on this bread and this cup that represent Jesus' broken body and spilt blood. As each emblem is partaken, may we remember your love for us and open up our hearts that we may love as you have loved. As this new year begins, help us dwell in your word and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
On this first day of the new year, we are privileged to offer a portion of our resources in thanksgiving to God. As Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 tells us, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Mike leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Heavenly Father, whether we have little or much, help us to always live open-handed in a tight-fisted world. Guide us to find our greatest joy in following and serving Jesus. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading I'd like to share with you this morning. This is Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then proceeding to verses 9 through 11. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. And soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be king of the Jews? We saw a star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. And when they saw it, how happy they were, and what joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child and his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshiped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. It may be likely that your Christmas decorations are already put away, but yet when we think about our relationship with God and Christ and everything that we know about the nativity scene, what we must appreciate is the simple fact that the wise men weren't really in the nativity at the time of the birth of Christ. In fact, it is quite likely that their journey was one that took many months, if not even well over a year. And the very fact that the text tells us that they met Mary and Jesus in a house is certainly indicative of the fact that they had moved from that manger scene, if you will, into some kind of lodging, even as they resided in Bethlehem for the census. Imagine having to take months out of your life to be counted by the government, you know, and having to go with your expense to go to the place of your origin in order to be counted. So that was one big, long, drawn-out process here. But here we are, the first of the year, but it is still important for us to remember the wise men and the significance of their visit. May we pray. Holy God, your Spirit abides with us and grants us great renewal as we begin a new year. And as we step forward in the task set before us, we pray that your Holy Spirit may guide us, that we may bring glory to your kingdom, even as we know your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ brought great glory to your purposes as he dwelt among us here on earth. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Even while driving behind another vehicle, we'll find ourselves turning with the car ahead, even though it's not the street that is the one we were anticipated turning on. For we are indeed, in our human nature, oftentimes followers. We follow the lives of significant stars in pop culture, whether they be stars of the entertainment world or the sporting world. And with the concentration even of a scientist, we'll follow the statistics and game-by-game progress of our favorite ball player or team, hoping for the best season of all. In ancient times, when the night sky was more acutely visible due to the absence of man-made light, the eyes of kings and peasants alike were drawn to the light of stars and planets. Astronomers, kings, and laborers followed their paths intently, for it was believed by most people, regardless of one's status in life, that the stars revealed divine signs, chief among them even the heralding of the birth of a king. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king, and soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem. Coming from the east, these astronomers were likely descendants of Jewish scholars from an earlier dispersal, most likely from the time of Daniel, when the wisest and talented people of Judea were taken to Babylon to work for the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. It is also most likely that these wise men from the east were certainly of Jewish descent, for Herod would not have otherwise given them an audience. As Jewish scholars, they were well versed in biblical prophecies, such as Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. They probably knew the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which simply means God is with us. And they also likely knew the prophecy from Numbers chapter 24, which states that a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, they asked the king, "Where is the baby to be born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." The star the wise men saw was not a star, for stars are fixed in their places as we see them in the night sky. Planets are the celestial objects that move as we see them in the darkness. The word planet in Greek means wandering star, and saying that the star came up in the east is an expression of an astronomical event called the helical rising. This phenomena of standing over in Greek, which means epheno, refers to the moment in which the planet seemed to stop and change apparent direction from a westward to an easterly direction. This happens when the Earth orbits the Sun more quickly than Mars, Jupiter, or Saturn and catches up with or laps the other planet. We experience the same visual effect when a car we are passing on the freeway appears to be standing still for a moment as we pass it with greater speed. There was that moment in time in which the star from the east appeared to stand still, and the wise men, knew they were on track to find a newborn king. Today, astronomers and many biblical scholars believe that the appearance of the Star of Bethlehem actually involved three heavenly bodies, the planets Jupiter, Venus, and the star Regulus. The event began first with the planet Jupiter, the king planet, appearing to align with the star Regulus, which in Babylon language meant regal, and to the Romans, it also again simply is a reference to rising of a king. This conjunction of Jupiter with Regulus occurred on three occasions, and on the second occasion it retrograded or seemed to stand still in that night sky. And after the appearance with Regulus, Jupiter then moved across the sky until it joined with the planet Venus, the mother planet, and their conjunction was so bright that it is believed to be the most brilliant appearance that has ever been seen in the night sky. This moment of Jupiter, first with the star Regulus and then the planet Venus, began about September of 3 BC and concluded about June of 2 BC, thus alerting the wise men of the birth of a king and giving them time to make that journey from Babylon to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem to see the Christ child, who at that time then, of course, would have been a toddler. And the distance the wise men would have traveled, indeed, was somewhere between 800 and 900 miles. Now, imagine doing that on a camel. You know, we can cover 1,000 miles on paved roads rather rapidly nowadays, can't we? And we can certainly do that in a good day's driving. But imagine taking months, if not even well over a year, making that journey. So you see, the Star of Bethlehem was not some magical event, for God did not need it to be. God, in his own timing, chose to have his son come into the world at a time in which the planets, Jupiter and Venus and the great star Regulus, would speak for him to those acute enough to understand then, and especially even now. The exceptional uniqueness of the Star of Bethlehem is that God used the heavens to declare the arrival of his son and our Savior. And indeed, as all-powerful as God is, God can use whatever he likes to convey his own message, can't he? As Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 declares, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, Who created all of these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And as Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In other words, the movement of the planets and the star Regulus told a story. And any of the astronomers of the time period would have known this was so unique, so distinctive. Regardless of what country they lived in, regardless of what language they spoke, you see. Upon finding the king, the Gospel of Matthew then tells us that they present their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is from the three stated gifts and not the details in Scripture that we get the assumption that there were three kings and we sing songs about we three kings. It is tradition and not Scripture that gives them the names Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. The gifts presented were indeed thoughtful and certainly of the very best that the wise men had to offer. Gold had always been symbolic of divinity and kingship. For centuries it had been. We remember that the Ark of the Covenant was covered with what? Gold. The Ark of the Covenant was an essence of God's presence with God's people. So gold was presented to Jesus, for he was God who had come into the world. He was to be the king of all kings. Frankincense is a white resin obtained by making incisions in the bark of a tree of the Boswellia family. And from the incisions, a resin pours forth that hardens into an orange-brown gum that is highly fragrant. For centuries, this gum has been burned as incense in worship. So it is thus symbolic of God's holiness and righteousness. Thus, frankincense is presented to Jesus as the gift for the priest of all priests. Myrrh is obtained in the same manner as frankincense, but from various small thorny flowering trees of the genus Camphora. Combined with a cheap wine, it became a stupefying potion that was offered to convicted criminals who were being crucified to ease their pain and suffering. Jesus, you recall, refused to drink this as it was offered to him by the soldiers. Mark chapter 15, verse 23 tells us, then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And when the resin was ground up, it became a spice that was used in the embalming of the deceased laid in the tomb. So myrrh was truly representative of a gift presented to one who would one day die for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. So even though many of us may have already put away our decorations from the Advent and Christmas season, may we truly appreciate the arrival of the wise men, three, maybe more. From the teaching of wisdom from the ancient times of Daniel, they noticed the remarkable transition of the planets as they aligned to create a bright star of all stars. And so they made that 800 to 900 mile journey to where the star stopped above Bethlehem. The prophecy of the coming Messiah had indeed come true. And upon their finding the toddler Jesus, maybe a few months, maybe even a couple of years after his birth, the wise men honored the arrival of the greatest king of all kings, who would be the priest of all priests who would one day die for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. And so, here we are, the beginning of a new year, this year of 2023. But how will we spend this year? Will we be muddling around with all of our own considerations and concerns, and that be where we find ourselves consciously parked? Or will we truly appreciate the arrival of the King of Kings, the Priest of Priests, the one who died for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we may have the very precious opportunity to be present with God in the hereafter? This is indeed the joy that we now possess as a new year begins. And so I ask you, where are you? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, We Three Kings, and again, just in celebration of the song, we'll sing all the stanzas of hymn number 172.
Bitter perfume.